the grand finale. We coming through with the Madden family, and only the baddest athletes gonna survive. When you see four or five of my guys piling up on top of you in front of your eyes, feel the impact, dual shock starts to kick back. Hey yo, it's Madden 2001, you need to get that and feel like you in the game playing for real. It's like royalty, so nil.
It's like hot one, hot two, high. Who the champions?
East swinging. Sports fans, welcome to the first edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We're 1 week late, but that's okay. We're back and we're better than ever. So I'm your host, Cowboy, joined. It's a little late at night, so I only have my two co-hosts with me. First and foremost, Mr. John D'Amato. John, been a long time, man. How you doing?
All right. Yeah, you're lucky you even have us. It's almost our bedtime too, but we'll get through this. Great to be back. Sorry to the fans. We missed out on a season preview, but that's okay. Nobody wants to hear our shitty predictions anyway, so we'll just get right into it. It's good that we got week one and we're right back in it. We don't got to hear about all that off-season nonsense.
Just because all three of us picked the Packers to win the Super Bowl and we deleted the episode, there's nothing wrong with that, right? All right, and as always, my pops, Cowboy Senior. How's it going, Senior?
All right. Great to be back. Great to have football back. It was a real fun opening weekend, really, with the first game of the weekend, first game of week one, and the last game of week one were both really fabulous, with a nice Sunday in between. So. Feeling like we're right in the groove of football season already.
Very good. Yep, absolutely. And Senior, we had gotten him a headset for last year, but there was an issue with being able to charge the headset. So he's back to the payphone outside Gillette Stadium, but we're happy to have him anyway. So guys,
what better place to be?
What better place to be, exactly.
Mr. Kraft promised he wouldn't charge him.
All I know about our show is no matter what, guys, we always have a happy ending. So great week one, right? I think we should just kind of we'll hit the high points. We can give our high level predictions for the season later. I don't think it changed too much with week one, but the season started off on Thursday with a real, real barn burner. Senior alluded to this. Cowboys at Tampa. As you guys know, I'm like a Cowboys guy. I always think they're going to be better than they are. So I was really encouraged with how the Cowboys played in this game. Dak, fresh off his foot being turned the other way, the last time we saw him, looked completely healthy, which is fantastic news for the Cowboys. He played a great game. Mike McCarthy, you kind of had a feeling that the Bucs were going to win a close one in the end. We'll just say that. But Brady also, fountain of youth. He looks he's 2 years older than me, and he's out there slinging it around with these 20-year-olds. Looks better than ever. Just a really, really fun start to the season. John, did you have any takeaways from the game?
Oh, well, Dak and right back into it. I've thrown 50 passes, and even though Dallas had some issues with the offensive line. They were missing Zach Martin, and they went toe to toe with one of the best front fours in the league. And Dak only got sacked once, and not too many pressures. So that's a good look for Dallas. That shows they can hang with one of the top teams, and that's predicted to go to the Super Bowl. They hung right with them, and if a field goal goes here or there, and some questionable coaching decisions, that they might have pulled the upset. Of course, they were kept in the game by some turnovers. They won the turnover battle, so that's what kept them in the game. But if Dallas keeps playing like that, they're gonna win more games than they lose this year, and they should be one of the front runners for the division. But unfortunately, just a couple hours ago, we heard that DeMarcus Lawrence went down with a broken foot. So that's going to hurt their defense, which had a rough game. But of course, who doesn't have a rough game versus Brady and Tampa? So we'll see how their defense reacts. They should be improved, though, under they got a new DC, Dan Quinn. So We'll see how we'll see what they do because they got to generate a pass rush, and it's gonna be hard without their top dog, DeMarcus Lawrence.
I mean, their defense was like historically bad last year, so there's nowhere to go but up.
Their worst ever, most points ever, yeah. But
and I mean, they played better in this game than they did last year. I know they gave up 31, but I thought even though they lost, I thought they were their performance kind of signaled to me that they're probably the odds-on favorite in the NFC East at this point, even with Philly's destruction of Atlanta, who is suddenly looks like a high school team for whatever reason. But senior, on the Buck side of the ball, any takeaways there? Anything, you know, maybe a little Antonio Brown? I thought he looked real good.
You just stole my thunder. That's what I was going to say. He kind of looked like the old Antonio in his prime, and that's really, really, really scary when you look at that receiving core. And as good as the other two guys are, if it's the real Antonio from about 3 or 4 years ago, he's their number one. I mean, he's in the conversation as one of the best in the NFL, really, when he's at his best. So it's a scary, scary offense, and that. You know, they did a number on me. I know the Cowboys aren't the greatest defense, but still, opening day, they came out sharper than ever, looking really good. As for Dak, yeah, that had to, I mean, that was everybody. I was so impressed with him for a guy that hadn't played as long as he did and with injuries and really going up against the top-notch defense. But really, for the Cowboys to really be a strong offense this year, I don't think that's really the formula that they want. I think they've got to get Zeke going as well. And some of that can be attributed to who they played because nobody runs on Tampa. So that's what I'm going to be watching for with the Cowboys this week and next week and going forward is they have to get something going where Dak doesn't have to throw the ball 50, 55 times a game. That won't work over the long haul. But Dak was great. If they can get Zeke going, that's going to be a scary offense. It was a real entertaining game. Really
the Bucs have the best run defense in the NFL. So
they stop everybody. Yeah,
I think so. It's just nobody runs on him. That I thought Zeke looked a little more svelte, a little thinner than last year. It looked like he had a little more burst. I just think it's a product of no one running on them. Zeke running out of bounds with a minute and a half left wasn't great. So you knew, I mean, all the Cowboys had to do was get one more first down and the game was over, right? And they didn't. And you kind of knew when Zuerlein, to his credit, after blowing a couple of easy ones earlier, nailed the important one, but you kind of knew that. You knew that they were probably going to lose to a last second field goal. With an aid from the referees for not calling Chris Godwin on a real obvious just shove the cornerback to the ground. John, you like that? You think they should have called that? I thought it was, like, you know.
Nah, that's beautiful because that's poetic justice. Because Michael Irvin did that, made a Hall of Fame career pushing off for about 10 years and never got one OPI in his career, including about 100 times versus my Giants. So. That was a poetic justice, beautiful. Godwin just gave a little nice push off. The cornerback was too much of a pussy to handle it. He fell on his ass, and that was a beautiful play. No call. Beautiful no
there
call.
There you go. You can tell you have a lot of love for Dallas and the Cowboys, John.
About them Cowboys.
Right down the middle with that. Right down the
John before. Anybody who's been listening to this show for the last couple of years, that's probably at least the fourth or fifth time I've heard that Michael Irvin take from John.
Still hold the grudge. Still hold the grudge.
And the announcers, the national announcers used to say, he's so physical, he's just an awesome receiver.
My co-hosts specialize in unbiased, right down the middle analysis. So. Yeah,
especially when it comes to the NFC East rivals, yes.
Be ready for more of it. All right, so moving on, guys. One of the surprise games of the weekend, we'll move over to the AFC East. We had Pittsburgh going into Buffalo and getting a W. So Pittsburgh put up 17 in the fourth quarter. The Pittsburgh defense held down the explosive Bills offense. The Bills were pretty significant favorites in this game, and the Pittsburgh's offseason, kind of the storyline was, they're probably not even going to make the playoffs. The offensive line's in shambles. Nice little win for the Steelers, who I know are not senior's favorite team, not my favorite team, but you got to give it to them. That's a real quality road win, week one, in a game that not a lot of people thought they could win, and with zero running game at all. With no running game at all, they got it done. Senior, we'll start with you. Is this more of a Steelers kind of taking the game by the horns, or do you think the Bills left some points out on the field?
A little bit of both. I give the Steelers defense a lot of credit. They played a great game. I think the Bills were kind of flat. And, you know, you certainly don't want to start writing off the Bills because of this game. The Steelers, I mean, the offensive issue last year was their offensive line doesn't get any push. They can't run the ball, and they play this dink and dunk passing game. And we did see a lot of more of the same. But as much as it was an impressive victory, I'm going to give most of the credit to their defense. And I know we wouldn't be doing a show right now if we couldn't react to week one. But I think this game, if we go a few weeks down the road, we'll be saying, don't overreact to week one. I think the Bills are way better than what we saw. I'm not writing them off yet. And I still don't think the Steelers are very good. So I think it's just one of those week one games that happen sometimes.
It's very possible. I was impressed with their defense because that Bills offense is good. The Steelers offense looked very similar to the way it's looked. It looked last year. Their offense wasn't great last year, and they won a bunch of games. So you never know. Their division certainly doesn't look great, which we'll get to. So I think the old 9-7 might take the Steelers division. Johnny, any takeaways there?
The Steelers, it's like everybody's trying to bury them, and this is finally going to be the year where they go into the, you know, under 500 and third or fourth place, but they still have Mike Tomlin, still the, you know, we try to count him out, but he's still a solid coach, and also they were probably revitalized by T.J. Watt signing at the last minute. There was talks that he might have held out. And it turns out he kind of told his agent to go screw, and he signed a contract on his own, and he just energized that defense, and that defense dominated the game. But I tend to agree more with you guys that may be one of those week one things.
Yeah, and then the thing with the Steelers that would scare me the most as a Steelers fan is, if I was a Steelers fan, I should rephrase that, is, I mean, Roethlisberger isn't great anymore, but he's still serviceable. But I mean, he's old, right? And he's had injuries, and they just really have nothing behind him. I think it's the worst backup quarterback situation in the whole NFL. Rudolph is a total stiff, right? And you just you're kind of just waiting for that to happen. And if he goes down, they just can't beat anybody. So we'll see.
They got the great receivers though that could cover for him. So.
Have you seen him play? Those receivers immediately are not great anymore.
Yeah.
All right.
That offensive line is still a problem, because if you look at them at the skill positions, it should be a good offense, and it's not. because I think they're really committed to trying to run the ball this year, because they couldn't last year. They did give Harris plenty of touches, but I mean, he's getting hit in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage pretty much every time they give him the ball. So we don't really know how good Harris is, you know?
Correct. I'm not a big first round running back guy. Oof. That's just me. When you have the holes like that to fill, yeah. Draft a lineman and then just, you know, put anybody back there.
I'm not a number two pick taking a running back guy either. Oh, I think we'll probably get that later.
All right. We're going to stay in the same division in one of the games of the day, maybe the game of the day. Very exciting. And a really nice win for Joe Burrow in the Cincinnati Bengals, 27-24 in overtime against the Vikings. The Bengals played a good game here, and I think they look like they're not going to be a total doormat laughingstock like they have been, which is a, step up from a Bengals perspective. Burrow didn't look any worse for wear from the injury. There had been a lot of talk that he was you know, pretty trepidatious in practice, and we don't know how ready he is. So he played well, hooked up for a long one with exciting rookie Ja'Marr Chase. It was good to see that. Chase had been plagued by some drops in the preseason. They got the running game going with Joe Mixon. Their line played well. Defensively, they did just enough. The way that division, I mean, would it sort of shock you if the Bengals won that division, Senior?
Yeah, it would be pretty surprising. But, I mean, I think they could be a fun team. The defense needs to improve if you're thinking about winning a division. But last year they were fun to watch until Burrow went down. And, you know, with the young quarterback, with the two stud young receivers, Higgins and Chase, they have shored up the offensive line some. Mixon looks good. I mean, the offense is a fun offense to watch, and for the most part, young. You just got to shore up the defense if you're going to start talking about winning a division. It wouldn't surprise me to see them go 7-9, 8-8 if they stay healthy and be in a lot of fun, high-scoring games to watch. They're going to be an entertaining team, and they're on the upswing. You know, but that's the next step, is they have to get better on defense if you're going to think about being a playoff team.
So I mean, John, you got to keep me in check here, right? Because I'm looking there, right? Pittsburgh, I didn't think looked very good. Baltimore is a total disaster, right? I mean, that was a disastrous loss. And they got guys just dropping like flies. And I thought the Browns played all right, but again, like, kind of couldn't get it done at the end. Am I wrong in saying that this is a mediocre division, or do you think I'm overreacting a little to week one? Because coming into the season, a lot of people would have told you that this is one of the two or three best divisions in football. And I just don't see it.
I'm definitely with you, but I think it's going to be Cleveland's. I mean, they went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, so you can't. That's a week one thing. So I think it's going to be a Cleveland's division. But that's a good sign for Cincinnati, you know, a struggling team that's been shit forever. It's good when you get home and you have a chance. You're only, you know, 3-point underdogs, and then you got a winnable game like that. It's good to get that first one, and at least be 1-0 and get at least a good feeling. Because otherwise, you start off 0-1, 0-2, and it's like, here we go again, and you know, there's gonna be empty seats, and all the talk, you know, halfway through the year, all they're gonna be talking about is when we're gonna fire the coach and stuff like that. So it's good for you know, a young team that's been shitty for a while to get off to that 1-0 start. And I think Ja'Marr Chase was kind of sandbagging, you know, dropping those balls and talking about how he's not used to the pro ball and the college ball. And he came out and he looked like a stud. Yeah, he caught everything that was thrown to him, and he looks like, so he might have been. I'm hustling the people a little to try to get people to underestimate him, because he looked fine.
Yeah, no, he played good. They have a good receiving core, and it's not, Minnesota's a good team. I mean, they're not, you know, 15 yeah. and one.
That
or
was
anything,
one of those where, and unfortunately, we'll get to this the second instance of it later. Where I don't like to point to one play, but that Cook fumble is pretty much
huge
difference
huge.
Between difference between the W. And we'll get to another similar
little
play.
Little foreshadowing on us there, Senior.
Yes,
Damian Harris.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
we've been in pain over that for a few days now.
We're gonna be okay. We'll look at all those rings and say, all right, it's gonna be okay. All right, next up, and our fourth man in the booth here. It was past his bedtime tonight. He just got back to school. He actually started middle school 2 weeks ago, which makes me feel like I'm about 1,000 years old. But Ryder's Cardinals. I watched the. I had Ryder came over and watched the game with me, and I mean, couldn't be more excited, right? As a Cardinals fan, He was with me in senior. Senior was there too. Ryan Ryder is he's a reserved guy, but he showed about as much emotion as he does. So you get, I mean, just really a perfect performance. Kyler just completely shreds the suspect Titans defense. And that you could kind of see coming. But I think for the Cardinals, it's huge that I think it's pretty clear that he wasn't healthy for a lot of the second half of last year. And now that he's healthy again, I mean, he's doing just what he did before, which is potential MVP stuff. But defensively, not only do you just completely shut down Henry, but Chandler Jones with just a iconic week one performance. Looked like, you know, Derek Thomas, one of the four or five best games I've ever seen from a pass rusher. It started out with Luan just getting destroyed, and then they took him out and put another guy in, and Jones just terrorized Tannehill. So this to me was, and I know maybe we'll look back and it's an overreaction, but I think this to me was like kind of the most important game of week one when you look at like the futures of these two teams, because with the Titans bringing in Julio Jones, there was a lot of buzz on them as potential Super Bowl contender. And the Cardinals were a bit of an afterthought with the Rams bringing in Stafford, and you know, the Niners are going to take a step up that, and the Cardinals were a bit of, and the Seahawks obviously are always there. The Cardinals are a bit of an afterthought in that division, but for my money, they were the best team of week one, period. John.
This is the biggest shock of the week. Not so much that they won, but how they totally dominated. And for Chandler Jones, you got to give it credit because, you know, a lot of the attention was on J.J. Watt. So that opened things up for Chandler Jones to have an epic defensive day. But that was definitely the big shock of how they won. But as far as Tennessee, I think it's just one of those week one things, and especially in that division, they're not gonna fall. They're gonna be heard from in that, and should be favored to win or at least come second in that division. That was just a 1 week misstep for them, but it's good for the Cardinals because they have to keep up, because that NFC West looks like it's gonna be one of the best divisions in football this year.
The best. Yeah. I think it's the best.
Yes.
And
we'll get the other teams, but yeah, so for them, they would have been falling behind already, one game behind all the other three teams if they fell. But not only did they win, they were very dominant. I bet not too many people had the Cardinals defense in your fantasy leagues. So.
I had them on a couple for my buddy. I pick them. I try to take them every year.
That was only a homer call. Yeah, that's true.
I wasn't confident in them, I'll tell you that. But there are some red flags with Tennessee, right? It's the new offensive coordinator, and then Henry's workload over the last couple of years. It's unprecedented. Generally speaking, right? And there haven't been many exceptions to this. When guys have had when running backs have had the amount of work he's had the last few years, they usually fall off a cliff.
Arthur Smith going to the taking the HC job with the Falcons. That's it looks like it's gonna be a while for them to get used to the new OC there.
And Ryan Tannehill he's Ryan Tannehill, right? So he had a good year, but he's Ryan Tannehill. And then I never like it when a receiver moves on to a new team, like real late in their career. Like you kind of, I know Julio is the celebrated one, but you saw the same thing for the Cardinals. AJ Green was like the one guy who looks like he didn't even belong in the NFL anymore during the game. I mean, he played awful.
And also you saw there was, you know, some issue. The coach already called him out. He got it on Sportsmanlike. Something to watch there.
Right. Well, it's, you know, in especially a situation where he's not the clear cut number one, that might not be as impactful of an ad for them as it looked like on paper. So I'm concerned about Tennessee. I'll just say I'm concerned about Tennessee being the kind of secretly shitty team this year.
Well, in that division, they're going to have some easy wins. So
that's true.
We'll see.
Well, the thing with Tennessee, and, you know, very, very impressive performance by Arizona, but the thing with Tennessee, when they were, if you remember last year doing our shows as we were heading into the playoffs, we liked the way Tennessee was playing, but we would always qualify it with if their defense can make a few stops. You know, their offense was real good, but their defense was nothing special. So they ride that offense. And as you're saying, calling Julio not the definite number one. No, I don't think he's the number one. I mean, A.J. Brown is an absolute stud who's in his prime. So I consider him their number one. But I still think their offense is going to be good. There's two ways of looking at the Henry thing. What you said about a lot of mileage on a running back, and the way he plays, he takes a lot of hits, so he could certainly drop off. The other side of that is the last couple of years, he gets better and better as the year goes on. I don't remember him getting off to huge starts. You get to the last five or six games of the season, and that's when Henry's ripping off these 200-yard games and stuff. That's just the way he is. So I still think he could get going, and that offense could still be very good. And like John says, they're going to get some cheap wins in their division. So I'm not writing them off yet, but it was an unbelievably impressive performance by Arizona. I mean, Chandler was so quick. It was unbelievable. He was getting in that backfield, just running around Luan. Luan was just kind of turning his head and watching him go by. He didn't have to get physical. He was just so much faster than anybody that tried to block him. That was real impressive. He was getting in the backfield quicker than he got into the police station in his underwear in Foxborough that night. And that's pretty fast. And also, getting back to being serious, it really looks like, you could go so much by one game, but you started to see it last year. It really looks like Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins are really developing a great chemistry together. And as good as Kyler is, that is one special receiver you have to throw the ball to. And he made some incredible plays. That toe tap at the back of the end zone was unbelievable. And Roger saying A.J. Green didn't look great, and he did it. He looks like he's washed up, but that's not really a problem because Christian Kirk is a really good number two. So a lot of reasons for Ryder to be fired up. That Arizona team really, really put on an unbelievably impressive performance.
John.
We good?
Yes, yes. Sorry to all the faithful. I was completely muted. I just talked for about 25 minute and a half. So apologies. I didn't have anything important to say. Let's move on to Browns Chiefs. John, yeah. I know you were impressed with the Browns performance. Why don't you take the lead on that for us?
Well, yes, I was up until the end. Of course, the punter just drops the ball right in his hands. Baker with a horrific interception. You have to play a near perfect game if you want to upset the Chiefs on the road. So there's a lot to be impressed about. But then also, you can't make those plays if they want to take that next step. Last year they had a feel-good year. They finally got in the playoffs, finally won a playoff game. They finally exercised this, beat the Steelers after losing to them 97 times in a row, whatever. But now, are they going to be satisfied with just that? Satisfied with not being lousy anymore? Now, to take that next step, you have to play a clean, perfect game. And those couple plays just ruined what could have been, because they dominated that game for three quarters. You're going to get those a couple Mahomes magic plays that get them right back in it. And then they handed them some turnovers on a silver platter. So you can't do that to the Chiefs, at least make them earn it. So they have to be a little disappointed in that, but also they have to be encouraged by the way they played, that they hang in this, the second game in a row. They ended last year in the playoff game. They went toe to toe with them and they did it again. So, you know what would take them over the top? A big playmaker from the wide receiver position. He just can't seem to get off the sideline. A very long, long healing process. And it looks like Mr. Beckham will be out again for week two. So if you have him on your team, I wouldn't play him.
He is out for week two. But that Browns running game. So that's the case for them, right, in that division and as a team, is that
their offensive line is
exactly is that awesome. their ability to run the ball on anybody is better than anyone else, anything else that anyone else in that division can do. And they ran the ball well on the Chiefs. And, you know, Mahomes is just, and I like Baker, but I didn't have a lot of confidence that he was going to take them down and get a touchdown at the end. And then he didn't. And Mahomes is just otherworldly. And just the chemistry he has with just those two guys, with Kelce and Hill, it doesn't even really matter what they put around them, because they know how to scheme those guys into one-on-ones. And then Mahomes is just a magician. Like that, you know, that play to Hill was just absurd. And they do that every week. It's amazing. Am I right, Senior?
Yeah, they are unbelievable. And the Browns played a really good game. And like John said, they didn't finish. But, I mean, it's the Chiefs and Mahomes. And watching it, we were watching it. And through, even when the Browns were all playing them, I kind of always felt like the Chiefs were going to come back and win the game. You just get that feeling with them. You just know they can do it. And when you at any time you want, you can pull a play like that out where he just rolls out and chucks the ball up in the air off his back foot, and you get that ridiculous touchdown to Tyreek. Their weapons are unbelievable. But a lot of encouraging things for the Browns. And yeah, that running game is second to none. You know, if they get anything out of their passing game, which they get a little bit, they don't have a great receiving core, but they get enough. And Njoku's a good tight end. They should win that division. They really should win that division. I mean, it's Houston this week they're playing, right? So I know Houston won last week, but come on, you should say that Cleveland's good. They better just make a statement this week and pound the Texans, and I think they will.
It's even more than a win. I mean, Houston thumped Urban Meyer, but okay. We don't need to talk about that one too much. So, you know, we're a half hour in here. We do have to get to the week two game. So I'm just going to touch on a couple more games. First, Dolphins-Patriots. John alluded to it. Big fumble by Damian Harris. He had played a great game, too. Big fumble by Damian Harris as the Patriots were in position to win the game. They're probably going to win the game if he doesn't fumble there. The rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, played very well, I thought, for the Patriots. So it seems as though the team is in good hands at the quarterback position, and the Patriots defense played well, but against Tua, you know, you want to see it against some real competition like Zach Wilson this week. I'm just kidding. But I thought overall it was a relatively encouraging performance for the Patriots. The Dolphins were kind of who I thought they were, which is not a bad team. I mean, they're a good team. 10-7-ish. Dave, got to get used to the 17-game season. But basically, one play, as John mentioned earlier, similar to the Vikings game, that one play was the game, essentially. Senior, you got anything to add here?
Well, beyond the one play, overall, Patriots didn't do it. I mean, we have a lot to be. We watched it together, and we were encouraged by a lot, especially by Mac. He did play really well. He made a lot of really good throws. He was very poised, but they didn't finish their drives. It's not only the fumble on the drive at the end. They only scored one touchdown. So that's unpatriot-like, right? They've got to finish their drives. And the other thing that was kind of an odd thing for the Patriots, as you said, alluded to Damian Harris being the guy that fumbled, that he played an excellent game. He looked really good. But that fumble was his 40th touch of the game. And that's just not the way the Patriots usually do things. They usually divvy things up a lot more than that. But some of it might have had to do with, ironically, that, you know, Ramondre Stevenson fumbled on his first touch of the game. And very Bill-like, he never saw the field again.
It couldn't have been his 40th touch. I mean, he only had 23 carries.
I saw that somewhere that it was his 40th touch, but yeah, you're
25th,
right.
25th, but still a lot. 40 yeah. Would be like
I don't know where I think I might have heard some idiot radio host say that, and I went and listened to it. My bad.
Right. But the still, only idiot radio hosts you listen to are right here. That's it.
Yeah. But he's still, without even going to the extreme of 40, he got way more work than the Patriots usually give any one running back. And, you know, he might have. He was looking a little gassed going to the sidelines a couple of times. And that's just not the way the Pats usually do things. So I think you're going to be see somebody getting into the mix more at running back.
But oh, definitely.
I'm still encouraged by it. I mean, it's the Patriots. We certainly shouldn't think we shouldn't be. My God, we're feeling encouraged by a home loss to Miami. That's really not the kind of standard we're used to setting. So hopefully it's going to get better. But I think the biggest thing is finishing drives. And they also committed more penalties than the Patriots usually do. That's very unusual. So I think those things will get cleaned up, and we're going to improve on that.
Very good. Very good. Agreed. I think they're a good team. Maybe not a Super Bowl winner. We'll see. But I think they're a good team. Mac should get better as the season goes on. Obviously well coached, good defense, and in a division that is winnable. So we shall see. John, did you want to mention, so the Giants lost 27-13 at home to the Broncos. Not a great game for the Giants. Their offensive line issues kind of reared their head, and then the issues at quarterback. The new skill guys looked pretty good. Kenny Golladay looked pretty good. Sterling Shepard had a good game. Defense did not have a great game. Teddy Two Guns and Melvin Gordon were partying like it was 2017. Saquon was a shell out there, obviously, right? He was still looked like he was pretty banged up. Didn't do anything. What are your takeaways, John, if you have any?
Well, the obvious offensive issues are bleeding into the defense, because there was some situations where like the defense stopped them on third down at around like midfield, and the Broncos said screw it, we're going for it on fourth down, and yep. And they went 3 for 3 on fourth down. So it's like the defense, they make that big third down stop, and they kind of get like mentally they're kind of like, yeah, we stopped them, and then they got to go back out there for another down. So that's kind of bleeding into them, and then. Then after that, you know, that's no excuse, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. There's just issues all around, and the coach made an egregious challenge where he lost the timeout. So the heat, the honeymoon is over for Joe Judge. Last year, everybody was blowing him, saying, he got the Giants, ramped up, 6-10, and then they hung in every game, and they were so close and all that. But now the heat's going to be on, and he's going to have to. Get some wins, otherwise there's no excuses. And it's obvious that this is not going to happen with Daniel Jones. It's, he does the same thing, crucial turnovers, missing open receivers. He has to overcome the less than stellar offensive line play. So looks like it's going to be another tough year here.
Yeah, and I mean, they have to cut the cord, right? I mean, they're going to.
Yeah,
unless there's some kind of drastic change, they're going to cut the cord.
They prepared for it with an extra first-round draft pick next year. And so, if things don't work out, Gettleman will be gone, and the new GM can get with Judge, and they could both pick a guy they like and be all for one. So.
All right. Thank you, John. All right. And guys, again, we want to get into week two a little here. The other two games, I think, or three, there were three. Week one's always so much fun. But the Saints just completely destroying the Packers was a huge surprise. Jameis, I mean, he threw 5 touchdowns, but only threw for 148 yards. So it was a very run-heavy attack. The Packers just never got out of neutral, never got out of first gear. It was just a putrid, awful, pathetic performance by them. This could be one that you look back on and say, that was an overreaction week one, but after all the belly aching and all the drama from Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, pretty weak way to come out in week one. Am I right, John? I think you agree with me on this.
100%. Yeah. Don't get me started on all that nonsense. That was just between him and Watson, just a terrible offseason. It makes you not want to, follow football and all that stuff. And we're hyping this big Aaron Rodgers going to sit down with Aaron Andrews at the pregame. You can pay. If they were in my living room, I wouldn't watch that crap. who cares about Aaron Rodgers? And the thing is, I don't think the fans are very sympathetic in Green Bay. I think they're not going to be sad to see him go. because all this stuff was he created it himself. All this drama with the GM. You know, it's and if especially if he comes out there and performs like that, you know, nobody's gonna be sad to see him go. So, but kudos to the Saints' defense and Sean Payton. Of course, he always has his team ready to play. So.
Absolutely. It'll get real ugly real quick if they keep playing like that. I mean, they have the Packers are in a big get right spot this week against the Lions on Monday Night Football. So they should be okay. But if they lose that game and then, you know, I mean, it could be a pretty messy situation.
Most likely it's going to be one of those week one things. We've seen it before where, you know, a couple of years ago, he had that big, where they had a, you know, awful couple of games and he bounced back. So they'll probably bounce back.
And then the last one is the Monday night game. Great game. Just a fantastic game. The much maligned by myself, Silver and Black, overcame a pretty bad start to that game to really win a shootout against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. I thought the Ravens played awful in this game. It's not that I thought that the Raiders did enough to win. They really tried to give it away. They at the end with the, you know, he didn't get into the end zone. They called it a touchdown. Everybody's on the field. And then in true Raiders fashion, it's at the friggin' 1-inch line. You get a false start and then Carr throws a pick. And all the Ravens need to do is come down and get a field goal. I thought the game was over. And then, you know, Lamar gives it up on the other side, and that was that. But if I'm for the Raiders, it's a real nice win for them, right? If they're gonna be decent and take a step forward this year, they have the horses. There's no reason they can't take a step forward. This was a game that they a nice win for them, momentum wise for the season. If I'm the Ravens fan, I mean, I think they're looking at like 7-10, 6-11. Like I thought they looked terrible, like on both sides of the ball. Senior, quick takeaways.
Yeah, it was an exciting game to watch. It was a fun game to watch, but I didn't really feel like I was watching two high quality football teams. I'll say that the same way. It was like, you know, two mediocre teams making mistakes and not looking too great, but very exciting and fun finish. And you know, I was happy. Yeah, I was happy for the Raiders. You know, you kind of start pulling for them. You can't help it. They've been down for a while and opening the new stadium in one of our favorite towns in Vegas. And with Bruce Buffer out there doing the intros and stuff. It was nice that they got an exciting victory. I was happy for them. And I think they could be better than last year. But I don't think either one of them is a really good football team.
I was encouraged by the Raiders defense with Crosby and Nassib getting some good pressure and forcing those key turnovers. So that was something you haven't seen the Raiders in the past. And they've usually been very weak on the defensive side of the ball. So there's a little bit to get encouraged for. But the Ravens have been so decimated by injuries. It's going to be tough for them to overcome. Cowboys making another profound prediction.
Is he muted again?
Not sure.
I was muted again. Unfucking believable. I'm sorry, guys.
Can you hear me now?
We're working out the kinks. I haven't done this in a while. I used a different mute button. Anyway, what I had said was that the one other thing I wanted to mention about week one was that for the Rams, the Matthew Stafford on the Rams thing looks like it's for real. He looked really good. They looked good as a team, and that's a hell of a division. So moving on to week two.
Wait, Raj, I just wanted to mention something about the Bears and their fans, you know, crying so much about when Fields is going to play Dalton. When is the overrated defense going to tackle somebody? I mean, Jesus Christ, Higbee and Kupp were wide open all game. It doesn't matter if Fields plays. With a defense, if they play defense like that, they're not going to win anything. Bears fans always like to point to one thing. Oh, if Cody Parkey didn't do the double doink, we would have won the Super Bowl that year. It's like now they're so obsessed with when is, you know, Fields going to replace Dalton, but they need to get their defense together.
Nice to see John launch the bashing of Dub Bears this year. that's coming from somebody else.
But that's our most loyal fan is a Bears fan, so that's for
they're
him.
Have to go to Fields after a short period of time, right? Yeah, I mean, they have.
But the thing is, Nagy's idol is Andy Reid, so he thinks that if he sits Fields down for a year like the Mahomes, he's gonna have Fields is gonna have a Mahomes like career. So, but unfortunately, Fields
won't be there.
Yeah, thank you.
He could sit him for a year and then watch
the next
watch him win a Super Bowl for some other coach.
Yeah, you can't make it up.
Yeah, the play to Cup was the real ridiculous play. You talk about a badly blown coverage.
Yeah, there was
not much communication back there. Yeah.
Tyler Higbee too. That didn't get touched all night.
All things considered, I thought the Bears played all right. I mean, that was a tough game for them. I mean, the Rams defense is really, really good.
Yeah, and also the Bears' offensive line is. He just wanted to get Fields killed in his first year too. Man.
I mean, that to me was the easiest pick on the board. There's no way the Rams were going to lose that game. And I mean, I'm surprised the Bears scored 14. I mean, at least they have some positives. I mean, they ran the ball real well. David Montgomery had a great game, and it didn't really get out of hand until late. But we'll see. We have Cincinnati's going to Chicago this week. And, you know, if the Natty gets a road win there, maybe that division division title becomes more in reach, right?
Boy, the Andy Dalton revenge game.
Yeah, that either ends out with Dalton hurt or on the bench.
Yeah, talk about a match made in heaven, huh? Dub Bears and Andy the Red Rifle Dalton together. Oh, my God. It could be a really long season because I think Johnny may be right that they may not want to feed Justin to that offensive line and have their prize rookie get destroyed. It may be a while before he plays. I would love to see the Natty kick their butts.
What is this? What are y'all negative about the Bears for again, Senior?
I had to find somebody, you know. And Johnny kind of led
the Bears. I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, they're kind of rebuilding. You know, they're not supposed to be good this year, right?
Well, they're living right up to that.
It's been 1 week, Senior. We'll see. So, I guess you're going to pick the Bengals in that game, Senior.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
The young Bengal offense.
How about you, John? Bengals or Bears?
I'll go with the Bears.
All right, Johnny.
I'll go Bengals.
Big home opener, right? Our boy Timmy's going to be.
We're on the road dogs here.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy yourself at the game, Tim, and don't listen to what Senior says.
Or me.
All right, Thursday night, Giants at WFT. To me, this looks like a walk. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be an asshole, John, but I think it's a real bad matchup for the Giants and their offensive line problems. I think like they're gonna have trouble scoring more than 10. I think 10 might be the max. So I like Washington in this one in a kind of a snoozer type of Thursday game, 20-10, something like that.
Yep. Well, the only saving grace is half of Daniel Jones' victories have been versus the WFT. So
you never know.
That's the only hope for the Giants. But I don't think it. I think that his little mojo versus even them is going to end. And even with Taylor Heineken. I kind of agree with you. It's going to be if you like defense, this is the game to watch. It's not going to be high school, not a lot of fantasy points. 17-13. Skins, not skins. WFT, excuse me.
WFT. Senior, you want to make it a clean sweep?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'll go a few more points. 21-10, WFT.
This is the exact same score I said.
Oh, okay. I was going a little more than Johnny. I'm sorry. The one thing.
Great minds.
My take on the WFT. I kind of like the obviously I love their defense. And we were talking Sunday, Cowboy, and I remember me telling you, I can't help but, well, I think most people can't help it. Ryan Fitzpatrick's just that kind of guy you want to root for. There's something really likable about the guy. So I really feel bad that he went down, because I think he had a chance to do good things. You know, he had something to work with this team, where they had a running game and they have a great defense. And they lacked a quarterback who could throw the ball downfield. And the poor bugger goes down right at the beginning of his first game.
He'll be back 8 weeks.
I feel for him. No, that's quite a ways. Hopefully.
I don't think Heinicke's bad.
He runs around and he's not good. I mean, they should be able to stay in the race in that division without him for a while. And I kind of like Fitz, that's all. And I was kind of pulling for him. So one of the things I felt bad about happening in week one was Fitz going down.
I think Heinicke's as good as Jones. I think he's better than Jones. You don't think so? He's not bad. He played pretty well in that playoff game, and he played good in this game last week.
It's not funny. It's pretty accurate statement. There's really, there's not much.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
It is what it is. It's not much. You can't defend
it. At worst, they're similar.
Yeah.
Jones is, the thing that's got to be frustrating, John, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, is he's got like the physical ability, you know, he's got the, you know, he makes some nice plays.
The turnovers and the inaccuracy and the turnovers.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The turnovers, especially. You can't just be a bonehead and play quarterback.
Yeah.
All right.
And the Giants, they really helped him out. And instead of shoring up the offensive line, they picked like a, you know, like a gadget guy in the first round. Who's like a Cordero Patterson or a Percy Harvin type. That's for teams that already have a, you know, good offense. Not for, you know, a team where you're trying to build. So that looks like another Gettleman bust.
And they put all their eggs in the Saquon basket with that pick.
Yeah.
And that like, you make that pick and then you have a bad offensive line. Like, that's not good. And then he's dinged up and he's a lot like a, you know, and he's certainly isn't to this level at this point, but he's a lot like Barry Sanders in that he has a lot of like negative plays, Saquon, and then he'll rip off the big one. But like, you get a lot of games recently for him where it's like this game where it's like just the negative plays without the big one.
Yeah, he gets the number of yards on his uniform, 26.
Right, and I mean, even last year, I remember, John, that. Just given the state of the offensive line and the state of the offense, having a guy like the Wayne train, who's just going to run 4 yards and fall down,
and also he'll pick up
a little
blitz.
Better in some cases.
And also he'll pick up a blitz once in a while. So Barkley, that's not in his repertoire to pick up a blitz.
So we'll see. It's a daunting second game because of that defense. So. We shall see. All right, we're going to go down the list here, guys. Houston at Cleveland. Anybody have anybody taking the Texans here?
No.
No, I think Cleveland comes out with a vengeance after, you know, where they felt like they played a good game last week and didn't finish it. I think they really put it to them.
I think good chance of that, Senior. I don't think the Texans will be able to stop Chubb. Not that many people can, but I think he really runs wild in this game. All right. Next, Rams at Colts. So the Colts coming off a loss to the Seahawks at home. And the Rams coming off the drudging of the Bears. It's in Indianapolis. People are going to be heavy on the Rams in this one. I think this could be a little bit of a trap. Sneaky Indianapolis could take it. I do like what Indianapolis has in the trenches. I think their defense is pretty good. It wouldn't surprise me if the Colts stole this one. Either of you guys on board with that?
I think they may keep it reasonably close, but there's no way I see them winning. I think the Rams are really for real. So I'm going to say the Rams by 10, like 27-17.
All right, Johnny.
Nah, I'm with Junior. Colts.
Colts here as well. Colts by 3. Senior, you're on
the Colts train. All right.
We're on the Wentz wagon, baby.
Colts at home, yeah.
All right.
I don't mind being on Rams Island this week. I think that's a pretty nice island right now.
Even though it hardly ever works anymore, I'm just going with the West Coast team struggling at 1 o'clock.
There we go.
Perfect. Perfect. So, well, we got another one of those coming up that we'll talk about. Two more. Buffalo at Miami. One of the games of the week, right? The big game. Big game for the division. As a Patriots fan, you want Buffalo to win this game, right? To kind of make 1-1 the first place. It's a tough game, though. The way the Bills played last week, they got to play better than that because Miami, similar to Pittsburgh, Miami has a good defense and is a little limited on offense. I think they can get some stuff done on offense, but, you know, 16 like Buffalo put up against Pittsburgh certainly isn't going to get it done here. And on the other side of the coin, the 17 that Miami put up against the Pats most likely isn't going to get it done either. I like the Bills to bounce back in this one. I just think they're a better team than Miami.
Yeah, I gotta go along with that. I think, I said that the Bills-Steelers game was kind of a week one thing, and I think the Bills are going to get the wake-up call. Miami will play them tough. Miami will fight, but in the end, the Bills have too much talent, and especially coming off a loss, even in Miami. I like the Bills by a touchdown.
What do you think, Johnny?
Yeah, we're all in the Bills. I like the Bills to bounce back.
Clean sweep, always dangerous.
Good.
All right.
Yes,
so, anyone?
I hope it works Thursday.
I know he's no longer with us, but I got to give one shout out. Calvin, if you're out there, go heavy on the Dolphins, buddy, wherever you are, my friend. All right. Next up, New England at New York.
No, it's not worth picking. No.
I like the Pats in this one. I thought the Jets actually bounced back pretty good after a real, real rough start. I think Wilson's going to be good. And the game actually scares me a little bit as a Patriots fan because this Patriots team kind of reminds me of last year's Patriots team where I think they're going to play a lot of close games. So it wouldn't completely shock me if the Jets beat them. But I do think the Patriots bounce back with a win. Senior.
Bill against the rookie quarterback. That's usually a pretty good formula. And I think they're going to clean up some of the issues, maybe finish some drives and stay away from those penalties. And the Pats are just a better team than the Jets. They're definitely going to win this game.
Oof.
Definitely. Wow, that's
a... Do you want to take that back, Senior?
No, not even a little bit.
John.
Yeah, I'm all in, but because the Jets are similar to the Giants, just for about a few years in a row here, they can't build an offensive line, and they lost Becton, their big dog, which makes it even worse. But even with them, they can't really execute like two or three plays in a row without some kind of breakdown in the offensive line, and that's not a good equation with the rookie quarterback. So we're all on the Pats.
All right, next game up, we have another West Coast team going to the East Coast with the San Francisco 49ers traveling to Philadelphia in a very interesting game. So Philadelphia looked like world beaters last week. They thumped Atlanta. We didn't talk much about that game, but I was unimpressed with Atlanta's performance would be an understatement. Second worst performance of week one, in my opinion, to the Packers, who had the worst performance of the last maybe decade period. The Niners jumped all over Detroit and then let them back in the game. And Goff had a chance to tie it up at the end and predictably wasn't able to do so. So you have the West Coast, East Coast thing. It's one of these games where if we would have looked at it 2 weeks ago before they played week one, you would say San Francisco by two touchdowns, right? Philly's going to suck. Was that Philly game against Atlanta an aberration and more of Atlanta's just horrible? Or does Philly have some stuff going for it where they can give the Niners a game here? John, I'd love your opinion.
I like the Eagles. The same thing, the 1 o'clock game for the West Coast. I'll give the Eagles a little edge on that. And I really liked. You could say the Falcons were horrendous, but the Eagles put it to them. They dominated every facet of that game. That game wasn't even close for not even a minute. So, and supposedly, the Eagles and the Falcons were on the same level of as far as talent and picked to finish in the lower part of the division, but. I like the Eagles to get a little mojo here and start off 2-0.
Senior.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with John.
Oh, boy.
A lot of the reasons that he said. And also, you think of the San Francisco team supposed to be at least close to a dominating defense. And that's pretty, it's a win last week, but that's a pretty disappointing performance by their defense. So, I think the Eagles at home have a really good
and a big loss.
I'll take them to win.
Mostert was a big loss to their running game, and they rely on that running game a lot. So that was a big loss.
They are run heavy. Yep.
All right, I'm going to go the other way. I think the Niners are going to be able to run on the Eagles, and I think they win the turnover battle here. I think Hurts gives up one or two, so I think it's a relatively close game. But I like the Niners by a touchdown or so. And then a battle of a couple of our favorite teams here on this week in the NFL. We have another West Coast, East Coast game with the Las Vegas Raiders traveling to Pittsburgh to take on your Pittsburgh Steelers. So I can go first on this one. I mean, the Steelers kind of fall into this type of scheduling where you're going to look up and they're going to be 2-0. I like them to win this game. I think even in this state at home against that Raiders team, I think the Raiders will make enough mistakes to lose. I think Pittsburgh will shut down Carr and take away the kind of the short passing game. I don't think it'll be the world's most exciting game, but maybe a similar outcome to Pittsburgh Buffalo, a 23-16-ish Steelers win. Senior.
Yeah. You really got the West Coast, East Coast thing here, because you also have the West Coast team coming off Monday night and having to travel, which makes it tougher. And I can picture the Raiders just maybe making one too many mistakes, one big turnover or something, and the Eagles, the Steelers pulling it out, as much as I hate to say it. 21-17.
All right, and John.
Steel curtain.
Yeah, we're all on the Steelers. I like them too in their home opener to get off to that 2-0 start.
All right, and we got a couple here that I think we'll be able to breeze through. New Orleans at Carolina.
Saints.
I like the Saints. Senior.
Saints.
Denver at Jacksonville. Denver.
Broncos, yeah.
I think Jacksonville, there were some real like Steve Spurrier vibes with Urban Meyer, and I worry about Trevor Lawrence after that ridiculous game. Run the ball a little bit, guys. All right, now one of the fun games of the week. You have the Vikings traveling to the Cardinals. This is an important game for the Cardinals to build upon the success that they had last week. This is a game if you're for real, you beat this team at home, right? They just lost to the Bengals. Their defense looks susceptible. The Cardinals should be able to score 30 points in this game. I don't see any reason to go against that. So I think the Cardinals win. I think they win comfortably. John.
Maybe not comfortably, but I'll go with the Cardinals and a little bit of a closer one.
Senior.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals, but I like the Vikings to score some points and keep it fairly close, but we'll make it a clean sweep for the Cardinals.
All right. Next one, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Blowout. Anyone think differently?
Oh my God.
All right. Next. This is one of the more interesting games of the weekend. We have a few in a row here. Dallas at the Chargers. So as all the good things we've said about Dallas, right? All the good things we've said, they still lost the game. And this is not a cakewalk game for week 2 at all, right? The Chargers are 1-0. They beat a You know, they showed up. They played a good offensive game against a really good defense that Washington has. This will be a much different game. The game kind of has shootout written on it, right? Because, you know, Dallas will be able to move the ball on Los Angeles. And, you know, I think Herbert should have a big, big game against the Cowboys. So the Cowboys lose this one with all, even with all the positives about Dak, they're sitting at 0-2. It's a tough call for me. I think this is the toughest pick of the week. And I'm a Cowboys guy. I like the Cowboys, but I don't think they're going to win this game on the road. I think Herbert's going to beat them. I think the Chargers defense is just a little bit better than the Cowboys, and the home field advantage will carry them over the top. John.
I'm with you. I really like how the Chargers came out versus WFT, and that first drive, they took it right to them, to one of the best defenses, most heralded defenses in the league. That first drive, boom, run, pass, run. They did everything. They got big chunks yardage and ran right through WFT and then dominated that game on the road at 1 o'clock, like we said. So I really like that. And plus, we mentioned the loss of DeMarcus Lawrence is going to weaken Dallas' defense a little. So I like the Chargers.
Senior.
Yeah, it definitely has the look of one of those whoever has the ball last kind of games. So, I know I picked a lot of road teams tonight, but I'm going to go out on the island. I'm going to take Dak and the Cowboys. Dak drives them down last possession of the game for a score to win the game.
Good. How about them Cowboys?
High scoring game, like 30-27.
I think it could be the most fun game to watch of the weekend. If you're, I know, John, you don't love a shootout, but I think it could be a real back and forth, fun game.
With the Chargers defense, very improved. So
yeah, I mean, if the Chargers defense really shows up, I think they'll win the game easy, because I don't think the Cowboys are going to really be able to stop them. I mean, that's a really good offense. And Herbert's an excellent, excellent quarterback, and they got a lot of weapons around him, and they have a pretty good line. I think the Cowboys are in hot water on defense. So if it's not a shootout, I think it could be closer to a blowout. So we shall see.
The Cowboys scored some points against a pretty good defense last week.
Are they that good of a defense?
Oh, they certainly are.
I mean, they're a great run defense, but traditionally you can throw on them, and
it's a really good defense.
All right. We'll see what Matty Ice gets done against them this
week. Won last year.
All right. Next up, another one of the very interesting games of the weekend. Preseason darling, Tennessee at Seattle. Titans reeling, staring 0-2 in the face. Arguably the most difficult place to go into and win in the NFL. Any hope here? Any reason to think the Titans are going to come in and win this game, Senior?
Certainly possible, but I don't like them. I'm seeing the Titans go to 0-2.
They need a big Henry game.
Yeah.
If you get a big Henry game, keep Wilson off the field.
Keep him off the field.
You can win that game. But
I really like Seattle. They're tough at home. I really like Seattle in the game. You gotta like Seattle in this game.
I like Seattle in the game too. But if Tennessee wins, it'll be because of Henry. I know that's not any groundbreaking prediction. John, what do you think?
I'm looking for a Tennessee bounce back, and I kind of have to dispute a little whatever the 12th man or whatever the fuck. I think it's kind of overrated. Seattle's hasn't been as dominant at home the last couple of years. I'm thinking back, that was the biggest win of my Giants last year. They went into Seattle and handled them, so they haven't been. And didn't they lose at home? I believe in the playoffs. So they haven't
they
been.
Did.
They haven't been that devastating.
But how many fans were there?
That's true.
Yeah, the 12th.
Johnny COVID, right. forgot about.
Limited. You think that? I don't know. I don't see the fans making a difference. I'll look for the Tennessee bounce back.
All right, very possible. All right, and then what? You know. on paper, I guess, is the marquee game of the weekend that I think is just going to be a destruction. Sunday night football. I think the Chiefs are just going to embarrass John Harbaugh and the Ravens on their home field. 45-17. That's my prediction.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Yeah,
it's going to be ugly. I agree with you.
Senior, you think the Ravens are going to keep it close?
No, I'll go along with you guys.
All right. And you hate to see it happen to John Harbaugh, but
That's the part of it that breaks my heart. But I'll be.
Yeah, we'll
have
to
get through it.
We'll have to try to sleep that night if it happens. And then Monday Night Football, we talked about. Does anyone see the dumpster fire in Green Bay growing larger? As bad as they looked, I have trouble. I have trouble saying they're going to lose at home to the Lions. It's like seems like the perfect get right spot for them, where they come out and destroy the Lions, and Rodgers looks great, and they're kind of at least off the hot seat for a week. So I'm going to pick Green Bay and a laugher. Senior.
Yeah, I like Green Bay as well. The bounce back. It's one of those where you kind of hope you're wrong, because it would really be cool to see them get their butts handed to them by the lowly Lions. But yeah, you got to like Green Bay to bounce back. They can't possibly do that again. Lose at home to the Lions. That would really be awful. Yeah. And then we'll see Aaron saying, like I told you last time, R-E-L-A-X. It was just one game. But that's probably what we're going to see, unfortunately.
John?
Green Bay all the way.
All right. All right, guys. We made it through the whole slate. So sorry for the technical issues on my end. Like I said, I'm rusty. I'm rusty. I haven't been doing this. But we will be with you every week. I will tell you that the lack of a preview episode was on me and Senior. John was ready to rock all week, and me and Senior could not make a time work. We had a time scheduled, and Senior had to tap out because he was only going to get like 2 hours of sleep or something, which is understandable. So no preview is worth that.
For the record, Rams and Colts is the prediction here for the Super Bowl. So put your bets in. Roger, I believe you also have the Rams and the Chiefs, right?
Rams Chiefs was my Super Bowl with the senior Super Bowl pick.
Rematch from last year, Bucks Chiefs.
Nice. Bucks Chiefs. I thought you were gonna go potentially Chiefs Bears.
Oh my god.
Are they gonna lose in the NFC title game? Tom's gonna beat Andy just by the skin of his teeth. All right, I kid. Tim, we love you, buddy. You know that. It's a little running joke on here. I hope the Bears are 9-8 or better this year for you.
I think if they
put Fields in, they have a chance to do that. So we'll be back next week to all our to our listeners, we love you. We're happy. We're happy to be back. You'll have us every week. And any parting words, guys?
The monsters of the Midway.
Unbelievable. John?
No, I don't have any party words. We dedicate, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad humor. If there was good humor, we dedicate it to Norm MacDonald.
Yes.
My boy.
Rest in peace, Norm. The very, very shocking, sad news. And lastly, we are here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network, where there's a bunch of other solid content for you to listen to.
Yes, and I listened to The Squared Circle today, The Princess Bride, my favorite show on the network. Great job with you and Logan.
Oh, thank you, John. I didn't know we had listeners, so I'm just kidding. But thank you. Yeah, Logan... I almost called him Logan Paul. Logan Crossland and I, Cowboy and Crossland, once a month we take a look at a movie starring a wrestler and we break it down. So we did The Princess Bride last night. It was a lot of fun. I had to mute on purpose there to cough. So, for Mr. D'Amato and for Senior, I'm the Cowboy, and we will be back next week. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.